Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Daniel was trembling and he spoke. I was on my knees, trembling, my hands to the ground. I couldn't bear to look up. The visions that had come to me had overwhelmed me with sorrow. I had seen how the people, my own people, would be carried into captivity, how they would remain there as nation upon nation continued to oppress them and separate them from their own homeland. And then he appeared, a man clothed in linen, my Lord. And I could not bear to look at him. His face shone like lightning, and I trembled with my face to the ground until he touched me. He touched my mouth so that I could finally speak, and I said, "My Lord, I am overcome with sorrow for the visions that I've seen." And he said to me, "Stand upright. You are loved. Peace to you. Be strong, yes, be strong." And with that, I stood up and I said, "Speak, O Lord, for you have strengthened me." The book of Daniel is filled with these visions. Daniel speaking to us of the heavenly realities that he's seeing before his very eyes, behind the scenes. And it causes him to tremble as he sees nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom. From the Babylonians to the Persians to the Greeks to the Romans throughout history, we see it all fulfilled as God predicted in the book of Daniel, culminating in the destruction of his own holy city, Jerusalem, just as Jesus predicted. And it makes him tremble. And it makes us tremble. As we start to look around at the world and the vision that we're seeing unfold before our very eyes, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, as we see what happened in Paris, 129 people dead, many more injured, the hatred that is driving people to do this, and the hatred that will be seen in the retaliation. Truly, it makes us tremble. And not just overseas, but here at home also. It makes us tremble with our face to the ground until we're touched. Until we're touched by the truth of who's really in charge and who's watching over us and how God brings us his word to comfort us in these times. That his angels are watching over us, that he'll deliver us with his word, and that he will make us shine in the resurrection. So those visions culminate here in chapters 10 through 12 of Daniel, where it's leading up to a prediction that the temple itself is going to be destroyed. But it gives us this glimpse of the truth as we turn to Daniel chapter 12. "And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." If you are troubled by tribulation, here is God ready to touch you with the truth. And it shows us what's going on behind the scenes. an angelic battle of heavenly hosts. It mentions Michael, who shall stand up, the great prince who watches over the sons of your people. Michael is mentioned in two other places besides the book of Daniel. He's mentioned in Jude, where he's called the archangel, which would be the chief angel. And then also in the book of Revelation, chapter 12. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. There is a battle going on behind the scenes that we can't even see. Now, as we try to picture this in our mind, we might think of these mighty heavenly beings doing battle with swords and armor. But let's not be mistaken. They don't fight these wars like we fight them. They don't have earthly weapons, automatic machine guns or bombs. No, this is a spiritual battle, which means it's a battle for the truth. From the very beginning, the devil was contending with God himself for the truth. Will God be God? And will his truth remain true? Will God have the victory? And can he be trusted? This is the battle that's really going on. And so Jesus himself predicts the destruction of Jerusalem when he talks to his disciples. And he wants them to know that God is watching over. God is in control. God has a spiritual power that's going out and that we can't even see, that's guarding God's very people as we speak. Angels keeping evil at bay. And so Psalm 91 says, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Michael is watching over God's people, guarding them. Because there's a time of tribulation, it calls it a time of trouble, such as never been since the beginning of the world. There's a great tribulation, and it is what makes Jesus himself tremble. Jesus is facing the greatest tribulation we could ever imagine. His knees to the ground, his hands down, and his sweat has become like great drops of blood. He's gone to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's facing the greatest spiritual battle we could ever imagine. They come at him with swords and clubs, expecting to take him captive, but what is he doing? What is he armed with? He is praying. Your will be done. That's how Jesus faces this tribulation. Not with weapons of this world, political or environmental or economic, but he is praying that he would be delivered by the word of God. Everyone who is written in the book. At that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who's found written in the book. So when the destruction of Jerusalem would come upon the people in 70 AD, upon the Jews, those who believed and those who went to the word were delivered because they knew it was coming. Jesus warned them, when you see the abomination of desolation in the holy place, he's referring to the Roman armies surrounding Jerusalem and laying siege to the temple. And he says to flee into the hills. So the word delivers them from that earthly trial, but it does it for us in a much greater way. Because we face a tribulation. Nation against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. What does Jesus say in Mark 13? Nation will rise against nation. There will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. He's saying there are going to be political turmoil, there's going to be natural disasters, and there's going to be economic hardships. But these are only the beginning of sorrows. What he's saying is this has been going on since the beginning of the world. What we see in Paris is nothing new under the sun. They're only the beginning of sorrows. What Jesus really wants us to be aware of is the real tribulation. When he goes on to say, you're going to be hated for my name's sake. There's a battle for the truth. And what Satan is after is not to take away our freedom. It's not to threaten our earthly comforts, take away our house or home or even our family. No, what he wants is to take away the word. And so he deceives the whole world, Revelation says. And we hear things like truth is just relative. And there really is no truth. Or if there is truth, you can't really know it. Will God be God, and will his truth be the truth? That's the real challenge. And so those Christians who stand up and say, I believe in truth, and we hold to certain values that the Bible has given us, that God has given us, there are going to be people that hate that idea, restraining us to God's law, convicting us of sin. But what will deliver us? Everyone who is found written in the book. The devil wants you to question this and say, no one can really know if they're saved. How can you really know you're going to heaven? Look at your life. Have you been so much better than the others? Look at your heart. Is it really so pure that God would accept you into heaven? No one can really know. But Jesus says you can know. Just look in the book, and you'll find your name written there. Open the Bible, and your name is written there. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Baptism has placed the name of Christ on your heart, so that your name is written in the book of life, because you're baptized, and God has promised whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Because God has drawn you here to be touched by the truth. So that as the end approaches, we should be encouraging each other more and more, the book of Hebrews says. More and more as the day approaches. We are delivered by his word. And the shining proof is ours. The shining proof. Jesus is trembling at the thought of what he's going to face on the cross. Because there he's going to make himself completely vulnerable to the host of wickedness in the heavenly places, to suffer hell for us, for our sins. And he's trembling at the thought. But what is the proof that God delivers him? It's the resurrection. That Jesus rose from the dead. It's the shining proof that God is God and his truth remains the truth. Many who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. There are a multitude, a number which can't even be numbered. Many means a multitude who will rise from the dust of the earth, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and contempt. Everlasting life because we have clung to the shining proof of the resurrection in Christ, or everlasting contempt because that feeling of unbelief does not go away just because you have seen Christ on the last day. It's an everlasting shame that even though Christ has come to you, you did not believe. But those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. This means there is a tension between what's happening now and what will happen in the future. That already by faith we are shining, illumined by Christ. To know Christ means you're shining in his resurrection and the proof that God is God and you've been touched by the truth. This will culminate on the last day when God raises all the dead and delivers you to everlasting life. So if you find yourself kneeling with Daniel, you're in good company. You're kneeling with Daniel. You're kneeling with Jesus. You're trembling at the tribulation, but that is where God brings you the victory. Not that you have the weapons of this world to endure, but there God finds you praying. And he touches you with the truth so that you can say, "Speak, O Lord, for you have strengthened me." Amen. We rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.